this budget includes the second largest tax hike in the state's history. And I'm wondering, who's going to bear the brunt of those tax hikes?
It's sort of spread all over the place. A lot of it will be on business. There will be limits on different tax credits that businesses can take. They will continue a 25% surcharge in the corporate income tax. There's going to be some changes in how businesses report their income. They would have to count a presence they may have out of state when they're trying to figure out how much they pay in Connecticut. It's a real complicated thing called the unitary tax. Then there's some that will affect everyday taxpayers. Cigarette taxes will go up about 50 cents a pack over the next couple of years. Income tax is going to go up, but that's more for high-wage earners, joint filers earning $500,000 or more. And then the property tax credit that people enjoy that they take against their personal income tax, that's going to be reduced from $300 to $200, but that's in the second year of the budget. Just myriad taxes that are affected in this budget.
The tax on business. We heard that there were a couple of major employers in the state, a couple of major businesses in the state, who were not at all happy with the possibility of this budget passing with specific taxes that would affect them. It appears to have done so. Did lawmakers just not take into account what those companies had to say?
Well, it was pretty extraordinary. You had General Electric come out. You had Aetna come out. And a couple others, and both GE and Aetna threatened to actually leave the state. When those letters came out in the beginning of the week, I think it was Monday, the week is sort of a blur, the lawmakers did make some changes, but not huge changes. Like there were some changes in terms of computer processing. The tax that they wanted to impose on that, they reduced it by like 0.5%. So it has not appeased them entirely, and I know GE has actually formed a committee that's going to take a look at other places that they might relocate to. It's now not certain that they will move, but in the meantime, I know there's going to be a special session, and there's been some openness to maybe tweak those taxes, not roll them back, but maybe tweak them that could appease the businesses more. But really, the Democratic leadership of the General Assembly thinks that this is the fairest way to go about this and that they feel that this revenue is needed to make some other changes that have to do with property tax savings and changes, caps on car taxes. It's all sort of pieced together into this big labyrinth of taxes.
We should probably note that the vote in both houses of the General Assembly to pass the budget, both votes were really very close despite there being significant Democratic majorities in both houses. Why was that?
It had to have been one of the closest votes, I'm told, since the 1991 income tax debate. I've been up here over 20 years, and normally you don't see votes that close. I mean, the Democrats in the House were working it, trying to get the votes all night, and they did not have the votes until they brought the bill out at 5:30 in the morning. And it's a number of things. The taxes really did scare a lot of these Democrats, especially Democrats that are more conservative. There's different pieces of the budget that just didn't work for their constituents. And there were, I don't remember the final number, but there were, you know, this core of Dems that stuck with the Republicans and voted no at the end. And it barely passed in both chambers, but they got it through.
There are Democrats defending the bill because they say it addresses transportation funding. What's the significance of that provision?
What they're going to do is they want to dedicate 0.5% of the sales tax toward transportation. And this money would go into the state's transportation fund, which right now primarily is funded with the gas tax and various fuel taxes. And in the past, that fund has had to have some money come from the general fund to boost it because people are not driving as much or cars are more efficient now and they don't need as much gas. So this special transportation fund is actually projected to be in arrears down the road. I think it's 2018. So this is seen as a big deal because you would have a dedicated source of revenue. Allegedly, they're going to pass a so-called lockbox that they won't be able to steal money out of the special transportation fund for other things. So this is seen as a big deal. And on top of that, there is also a lot of bonding money that's going to be used, billions of dollars, to try to kick off Governor Malloy's massive transportation overhaul. This would be enough for what they call a ramp-up of projects. Because probably, as you know, the governor has proposed a really a huge 30-year, $100 billion transportation overhaul. And this piece that was in the budget sort of ramps up some of those projects. There would be some studies, some early work done on some projects to get the ball rolling.
The governor's original budget proposal did cut funding to a number of social service programs, which I understand the bill that passed restores. The funding's restored in this bill. Are there items, significant items, in that area that did not get refunded?
It's been told to me by various advocates that, yes, money was restored, but not completely. The nursing homes still have a problem with some of the funding that they got. It's still being sorted out to figure out how much people got, but there's still going to be some cuts to social service-type organizations. You know, they're saying, yes, there was mental health money restored, but is it what everybody was hoping for? It doesn't look that way.
The debate over the budget kind of overshadowed late in the session some of the other legislation that was on the table as well. Were there significant bills that did pass?
Did or didn't pass?
Did or didn't. I guess you could look at it both ways, yeah.
Well, both. In terms of what didn't pass, the last night of the session was kind of crazy because everything was still caught up in the budget, and there were various fights going on between both chambers, and different things were held up. And probably most significantly, the governor's Second Chance Society bill. This is a bill that would make it easier, theoretically, for people who've had minor offenses to reintegrate into society, and they would reclassify drug possession offenses as a misdemeanor. It's all a chance to try to, you know, reduce recidivism. That bill did not make it, and that will be called up in the special session. There was another bill that had to do with temporary restraining orders. If you have a temporary restraining order out against you, you would have 24 hours to turn in your guns. It was a big issue with gun rights advocates, so that did not come up. And we had former Arizona Representative Gabby Giffords up here in Connecticut fighting for that. There were some bills that also didn't make it that people might be interested in, like there was a bill that would allow Tesla Motors, the electric car company, to open 3 stores in Connecticut and sell directly to consumers. That passed the House, but it didn't pass the Senate. There was a lot of concern from the auto dealerships about what that might mean, the precedent for that. They thought they might be cut out of the loop. There were regulations for the ride-sharing app Uber. They passed the House. They didn't make it in the Senate. That's a pretty interesting bill. In terms of things that did pass, probably one of the biggest bills that passed that had a ton of debate was the bill that would allow the Mashantucket Pequots and Mohegan Indian tribes to begin this process of possibly opening a satellite casino, probably north central Connecticut. That did pass. Some of the other things, they banned the purchase and sale of powdered alcohol. After years of debate, they agreed to allow limited bow and arrow hunting on private property on Sundays. It runs the gamut.
And as you pointed out, really this isn't over yet. Special session is coming up soon. What do you expect the mood to be like when the lawmakers get back together to deal with some of the issues that they couldn't finish up in the regular session?
Well, what happens all the time, it seems, is when they have a special session, there's a lot of interest in trying to do a redo. A lot of lawmakers, I think, hope that this is a chance for them to get bills in that didn't make it during the regular session. And House Speaker Sharkey said that he wants to try to limit that. But there is going to be opportunity for things that you thought may have died to have been resurrected, because they have these bills, they call them implementers, they're budget implementation bills. And there's one called the General Government Implementer, and it's as broad as it sounds. And there will probably be some language in there that would spell out the Governor's Second Chance Society or some other bills that died. There would be an opportunity for public health type bills, human services bills, things like that. So I'm sure that there will be this effort on the part of lobbyists and lawmakers and advocates to try to squeeze things in at the last minute. In addition to the governor's second chance, they'll probably be taking up state bonding, school construction projects, and then there's this bill they do every year where they convey state property to communities or different groups. They have to convey state land. That will be coming up as well.
Well, Susan, it sounds like it's been quite a week for you as well as the state legislature. Thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome anytime.
Susan Hague is Connecticut's AP Capitol reporter, and she spoke with us from her office in Hartford.